All right, let's go, if you would, in the Bible to the book of Judges, and I want you to go to chapter 16. That's where we're going to begin reading this morning on what I have to share this week. Gavin and I will be ministering, both of us, to you, and it's going to be very powerful. Gavin's one of the greatest preachers. I'm not kidding. He's one of the greatest preachers I know. Flows in the gift of miracles, so a lot of miracles will happen as well. And just a lot of cool stuff. I want to minister to you this morning, this week. Gavin and I both are going to be ministering in different ways, but I want to speak to you. How many of you want a comeback from any of your setbacks? Praise the Lord. How many of you understand that God is a comeback God? That regardless of what may happen to you in your life, God can repair it and fix it. Amen? So I want you just to think this morning about where you are in your life, in all the different areas of your life. Just think about that for a little bit. Ask yourself where you are physically, in your body. Where you are financially, in your finances. Where you are relationally, in the relationships of your life. Where you are spiritually, in your personal walk with God. Just ask yourself where you are in the different stages of your life, in your marriage, with your children, in your financial situation, in your job, whatever the case may be. God is a comeback God, and so I want to minister that word to you today. Because a lot of people are in a state of having setbacks in different areas of their life. And so what we want to do today and tomorrow is reverse the setback and just believe God for a comeback. Praise the Lord. Would you hug somebody and say, this is your time for a comeback? Praise the Lord. Say that to two people around you. Say, this is a time for a comeback. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read to you out of the book of Judges, chapter 16, and I want to read to you verse 21. Samson, the mighty warrior, became a slave. Rather than kill him, the Philistines preferred to humiliate him by gouging out his eyes and making him grind grain. Samson now had plenty of time to wonder if Delilah's charms were worth spending the rest of his life in humiliation. Although God did not completely abandon Samson, he allowed Samson's decision to stand, and the consequences of his decision followed naturally. We may choose to be close to God or to go our own way, but there are consequences resulting from our choice. Samson didn't choose to be captured, but he chose to be with Delilah, and he could not escape the consequences of his decision. Blinded, think about this, this is pretty powerful. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free, and he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him, in verse 21, and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. Verse 22 is what I want you to focus in on this morning, ladies and gentlemen of the jury. But before long, his hair began to grow back. Look at two people and say, I can see that your hair is growing back. Praise the Lord. Tell that to two or three people. Say, I can see that your hair is growing back. Praise the Lord. Tell the person behind you, even if you don't have hair, I can by faith see that it's starting to grow back. Praise the Lord. Here we have Samson. And Samson is a weak man with a big calling in his life. Samson is a judge, a preacher, a priest. He has the anointing of God in his life with a tangible, visible evidence of supernatural strength above all the other men on planet Earth. Samson has so much power and strength that he is able to take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men. It takes a lot of strength to wield the jawbone of a donkey and slay in one day 1,000 people with that jawbone. Your arm has to be pretty strong to be able to do that. says that his hand was cleaved on, or was literally melted on to the jawbone, and he actually couldn't open his hand. It had atrophied over that bone because he had just used it as a weapon and was just killing man after man after man. We see in other instances Samson carrying the gates of the city, which weigh over 2,000 pounds, on his back, literally carrying them up a hill. That's supernatural strength. All throughout his life, he had the evidence of God's presence with him and of God being with him by the supernatural manifestation of strength. When his weakness began to take control of Samson, and he had two weaknesses basically. One was that he loved women, and two, that he liked partying. And so he was a party animal. He just liked going to parties and discos and clubs, and he liked the sound of dancing and all the stuff that's in a bar and all that. He just loved that. He loved the smell of the bar, the sound of it. He liked the noise. He liked the sound of people dancing and everything there is in that whole atmosphere, and he loved that. And so when he went to Delilah, a prostitute, he went to his house. And then while he was with her, she used her manipulation techniques, and the same that are being used all throughout time, which is, if you love me, you will do this. Men use them, women use them. It's the same old thing. You know, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love me, you'll do that. It's the same guilt trip and the same manipulation tactic. And that's what she did. And she said, if you love me, you would tell me the source of your strength. And so Samson, after three or four lies that he told her, she used all the weeping technique and the crying and the sorrow and all that, and got a hold of him, made him feel bad. He wore her down. She wore him down, the Bible says. And then eventually he told her, the source of my strength is my hair. If they cut my hair, I will be like any other man. Praise the Lord. And then he lost his ministry. He lost his strength. He lost his eyesight, and he lost his influence. Praise God. He lost four of the most important things that anybody can be given by God. And he lost that. And he was reduced to a normal, weak man that could not do anything great anymore. Now we find him grinding grain in a wheel in front of all the Philistines, which are God's enemies. They are laughing at him. He is like a trained dog in a circus. He is just something that is used for entertainment by his enemies. And then verse 22 is activated, and we see that his hair began to grow back. Praise the Lord. This is the thing people do not plan for. The devil doesn't plan for it. The world doesn't plan for it in your life. Is that there is a God in your life that can make your hair grow back, ladies and gentlemen. Even if the source of your setback was your own failure and your own mistake. Praise the Lord. There is a God that can turn things around. Would you say that to somebody right now and say, I don't know what you're going through. Say that to somebody. Say, I don't know what you've gone through. I don't know what you've been through. But you have a God that is a comeback God. Praise the Lord. He is a comeback God. People need to hear that this morning. Say that to people. Say, God is a comeback God. Whatever mistake you have made. And how many of you have made mistakes in your life, ladies and gentlemen? How many have made enough mistakes that you shouldn't really be in church right now? You should be kicked out of church, kicked out of planet Earth, kicked out of everything. You should just be excommunicated from humanity. Praise the Lord. Anyone other than just me? Praise the Lord. Anyone other than just me? And so you've made mistakes. Do you think you're going to make them in the future? How many think your days of mistake making are not over yet? And that it's really possible that you might, with your natural flaws that are embedded into your human Adamic nature, may still make a mistake or two, you know, Maybe in the next 50 years you might make another mistake. But some of you may make mistakes every day. I want to encourage you with something. Your hair will grow back if you're related to God. Your hair will grow back if you have a relationship with God. With God, the battle is never over until you win. God does not have a lose scenario. He only has a win scenario. God does not quit working for you, working with you, or working through you until you overcome what has defeated you. Praise the Lord. Tell that to somebody. Say, my hair is growing back. Can you feel it? See, you can't get this from the devil. The devil doesn't have a comeback plan or strategy. You can't get this from your enemies. They don't have a comeback plan or strategy for your life. Your enemies, what their job is, ladies and gentlemen, is to always remind you of your mistakes. But God always reminds you of your potential. This is how you know you have good friends or bad friends. Your bad friends remind you of your mistakes, and your good friends remind you of your potential. God is not interested in your weakness. He's interested in the potential that He has planted on the inside of you. He has impregnated you with victory. He has impregnated you with success. He has impregnated you with comeback power and energy. I don't know what mistake you've made. I don't know how big and how ugly and how terrible. I don't even know what you've lost because of your mistake. But I do know one thing, that the hair that is buried under your mistake will be called out, and from the very roots that hair will begin to grow back, and you will be restored to a place of victory, success, peace, love, joy, blessing of Almighty God. This is why we come to church now. We come to church because we need encouragement. We don't need to be beat up anymore. We just need to be encouragement about what is beating us up. Praise the Lord. Would you look at two folks and say, my God is a comeback God. Can you see my hair shooting out of there? Isn't this encouraging? Look at somebody and say, he's a comeback God. Because you see, mistakes are something, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to learn how to deal with God's way. A mistake can paralyze you. A mistake can cripple you. You can be crippled by guilt. You can be crippled by regret. You can be crippled by shame and unworthiness and condemnation. You can be crippled by those things and withdraw from God's loving care and relationship in your life because you feel like a failure. Samson fits into that category. He was already serving God. He was one of God's chosen ministers and servants, and he still failed in the worst possible way. He betrayed God's confidence and gave away the secret of his strength and power. Praise God. You can give away the secret of your strength and your power in a lot of different ways. You can make a mistake. You can decide one day to have sex with somebody that you're not married to. That's giving away your strength. You can decide to get back on drugs, start smoking reefers, drinking Bud Light till you can't stand, shooting up cocaine, shooting down this, shooting up that. You can choose to hate somebody even though you know you're not supposed to, and then your soul can be infested with the germs and diseases of bitterness and offense and resentment and hatred, and then your peace is gone. Your ability to sleep in peace is gone. Your joy is gone. You are now a victim of your own choices, and now those things which defile and corrupt and devour your soul are now with you day and night in your thoughts and in your emotions, and you realize, I don't have peace in this area. This area has peace. This area doesn't have peace because I've been invaded by foreign invaders that have the name of Satan imprinted on their foreheads. Praise God. Amen. So, what kind of God do we have? What kind of God do we have? What is God going to give you today? Look at seven people and say, come back. Here is the encouraging news, and I want to say this to you in the book of Psalms and also in the book of Proverbs. This is really powerful. It says, "The righteous man falls down 7 times, but the Lord lifts him up with his hand." If you were to study that out, 7, of course, in the Bible is God's number of perfection, completion, or maturity. So what that really means, symbolically or spiritually, you know, interpreting that for you, what it means is that for every person in every area of your life, there is a 7th time that you fall. And after that 7th time happens, you no longer fall in that area, because God has totally delivered you from that weakness or that mistake. Now, for me, the 7th time may be the 3rd time I fall. For another man, it may be the 3,000th time. But if you keep walking with God and you keep holding God's hand and allowing God to talk to you, to convict you, to minister to you, to help you, to feed you, to nourish you, to give you hope, to give you strength, if you allow God to do that, if you allow God to be God, if you allow God to be in your life, if you make yourself accountable to God, if you talk to God after every mistake, if you talk to God after every failure, if you refuse to come under the condemnation of your mistake or your failure, then eventually the strength of God and just being around God rubs off. It's just like osmosis. In other words, you begin to actually draw God's strength into that area of failure or weakness in your life, and pretty soon where you were failing and where you were weak, you are now strong in God, and that area is no longer broken or defeated. Now you have the victory and the strength of God in that area. It is not the same for every person, but it is potentially, eventually, at the end of the day, everybody ends up with victory and with Christ-likeness in your life, which is why we are in the race, ladies and gentlemen. It's to become like Jesus so that he can use us and we can learn how to stay out of God's way. Praise the Lord. Because some of you may be facing failures in different areas of your life. Some of you, for example, may be a bad husband, and you may know you're a bad husband because your wife reminds you that you're a bad husband on a daily, weekly, momentarily, or even by the second. She may just stay mad at you forever. So it's like silent reminders that you are a bad husband, or vice versa. But if you just surrender to yourself to that and say, okay, well, I'm a bum, I will be a bum, and that's what you marry, and that's what I am, I'm a bum. So what about it? I'm a bum, 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 bum. Well, if you draw near to God, the Bible says he will draw near to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God has, remember, the power to give you the comeback. You can be stronger when you come back than you were when you fell down. Praise the Lord. And that's the greatness about God, is that most Christians don't know how to deal with their failure or their mistake. They just cave underneath the weight of the guilt and the condemnation. God is not interested in you feeling bad. He's interested in you getting better. Praise the Lord. You have felt bad long enough about certain things. But if you defy God's will in your life, then you can never get better. Praise the Lord. So Samson's hair began to grow. Everybody say that. Raise your hands and just make noise, because it's Sunday morning and I kind of like to wreck that religious quiet spirit. Would you just... All right. So I know it's hard for some of you used to the quietness, but noise is good. Heaven is full of noise. So Samson's hair began to grow, and you know the end of the story. It says at the end of his life, he got a little boy, because he was blind. The little boy put him between two pillars, put his hands there, and then God gave him his power back because his hair grew back, and he demolished the pavilion where they were all gathered, over 3,000 Philistines, and he said in his death, he killed more than in his life. When you get a comeback from God in an area, it is 3 times stronger than it was before. Praise the Lord. He killed 1,000, but now he killed 3,000. Look at 7 people and say, cha cha, baby, that's what I'm talking about when I go to church. I like that. Amen. How many of you need a comeback because you've had a setback? How many of you need a comeback because you've had a setback? Praise the Lord. Because not every setback is the fruit of your mistake. This one was, but not everyone is. Some of you have had setbacks that you had nothing to do with. You had no control over the economy, ladies and gentlemen. You have no control over the fact that bankers and Wall Street managers and government officials and politicians and other people that manage the large sums of money that we send them did with that money. It's not your fault that they lied. It's not your fault that they manipulated money. It's not your fault that they said one thing and did another thing. It's not your fault that these problems in the economy of the United States of America happened and then it affected your job or it affected your income. It is not your fault that that happened. And so you need to understand that just because you have a setback doesn't mean that you can't have a comeback. You just need to know how to have a comeback when you're in the middle of a setback. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Can anybody act like I'm preaching good to you today? Praise the Lord. That's why you need to come to church more than once a week. Because you're not in a position right now where you need less ministry. You're in a position where you need more ministry. Amen? Look at two people and say, I don't know why he talks to you like that, but I can feel he's talking to you. Then you have in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, you have Moses. Now, Moses has a setback. He is in Egypt, a prince. He is in total authority. He has all the wealth of the world, all the power of the world, all the influence of the world. How many of you would like to be in that position? He can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, any way he wants. He's a pretty set up guy. And one day he sees somebody abusing an Israelite, and he kills that Egyptian and buries him. He makes a mistake because of his emotional weakness of anger and rage, and he kills a person, buries the person, and then has to flee Egypt, and then he's out in the wilderness for 40 years with sheep, by himself with a stick. And he's just out there walking around by himself. How many have ever been by yourself? Let me see your hand. How many have ever just been by yourself walking around talking to yourself and catch yourself talking to yourself and you say, I'm losing my mind. I'm now talking to myself. I'm asking questions and answering like the little fellas walking on the street talking to the little green people. I have lost my mind. I'm talking to myself. How many have ever seen anybody driving around and having a conversation with themselves and going like this? Or have you ever been caught by your children and they say, who are you talking to now, Pop? I've done it many times. Many times. I'll go through a whole scenario talking. And I did it yesterday on the plane. Person sitting right next to me and I was talking. I go, oh man. Because your imagination is so strong and it takes over that sometimes it consumes you and you forget that you're on planet Earth and that you can't just be talking to yourself. Although now you can get away with it because of the little earphones that people wear and it's like Martians are everywhere now and they're walking right at you talking to you. No, I didn't say that. I'm looking right at you. No, I didn't say that. I said, what? And they're on the phone. Pretty scary. So you don't know now if people are nuts or they're on the phone. You just got to guess. Moses committed murder, a willful mistake. And some people make willful mistakes. But you can still get a comeback from a willful mistake. It just takes willful repentance. Praise the Lord. See, what Moses did is he repented for what he did. You can't get a comeback if you're going to refuse to repent. In other words, if you choose to repent and say to God, Lord, I know I did this. I'm sorry I did it. It was wrong. I will not do it again. A comeback has just been released in your life. And remember that your comebacks are always stronger than your setbacks. Because a setback originated with you or the devil, but a comeback originates with God. And anything God touches prospers and increases. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say amen to that. So here's Moses, and Moses kills a person. Exodus 3, he comes, and he sees the burning bush. He draws near, and God requires him to take his shoes off. He said, Moses, you're about to get on holy ground. How do you get on holy ground, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? Don't you get on holy ground by repenting? Repentance through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus puts you on holy ground. And as soon as you say, God, I'm sorry I did that, I'm sorry I said that, I'm sorry I've been doing this, you get back on holy ground, and a comeback is activated and begins to happen in your life. You cannot have a comeback without repentance. Praise the Lord. So you need to repent from things that you do that are wrong, willfully wrong, because surely everybody in here has willfully done something wrong at some point of your life. Is that not correct? Can you look at two people and say, that's correct? How many of you knew it was wrong before you did it and did it anyway? Anybody other than me? I can't even number how many times I have willfully disobeyed God. I can't even tell you how many times I have just stood there knowing what I was about to do or say was wrong and decided I'm going to do it anyway. So if you don't like that about a preacher, then I'm sorry, you need to hear a different kind of preacher, because I'm the kind of preacher that's called human, praise the Lord, and I have to go through all the same experiences as everybody else does to get my victories. They're not handed to me free because I preach. Praise the Lord. I have to go through stuff, and everybody's different. Some of you are perfectly holy but worthless. You are totally perfect in every way, but you're no good to anybody because you don't win souls, you don't love orphans, you don't take care of anybody, you don't use your money to help people, you just read your Bible, stay home, pay your little tithe, go home, eat, sleep, watch TV, and go to work, and you're totally useless. Don't get offended. It's just the truth. You're nice. We want to be around you. We'll hug you because you're a nice person. You remind us that niceness is possible. But however, the radicals are the ones that change the world, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes radical people are very flawed before they have been washed up and cleaned up. Praise the Lord. And God is looking for soldiers. He's not looking for wimps that are nice. We need a revolution. We don't need a tea party. The world is going to... See how nice I've become? I normally would say that, but I've improved my vocabulary. And although I can tell that some of you would prefer if I use that language because it makes you feel at home. And others, of course. Praise God. I have to listen to my wife, so there you go. So here's Moses, and as he draws up to holy ground, and that's how he gets his comeback. God speaks to him, gives him a whole ministry, and then delivers all the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Remember that right behind your setback is the greatest comeback of your life. All you got to do is know what to do. Praise God. So number one, if there's anything wrong in your life, repent for it. Don't just let it continue. If you cussed your wife out on the way to work or on the way to church this morning, don't just let that linger on her. If you cussed your husband out last night or this morning or all your life, don't just let those words hang on them. Apologize. If you've yelled at your children or slapped them or hit them in any way, apologize. Praise God and mean it. And you will activate a comeback that's going to be greater than anything you've ever experienced in your life. Some of us have gone to church so long and heard so many sermons and had nothing happen that we are now perfectly full of spiritual unbelief, that we have no expectation left in our spirits. We hear the word and we are sterile to its seed. So you can hear sermons, but they don't change you. They stir you, but they don't change you. And understand that God's not into stirring you. He's into changing you. He doesn't want you just to and then go away the same. He wants to give you a new heart, a new personality, new habits, and a new life. Praise the Lord. Not just stirred, but changed. That sounds like James Bond, stirred. But anyway, praise God. So, and then you see in Genesis 41, verses 14 and 15, and also in verse 46, that Joseph, here is Joseph who has nothing wrong in his life. Look at two people and say, I believe you're Joseph. He has nothing wrong in his life. Praise the Lord. Nothing. He's doing everything right. The only thing he did wrong was that he was immature and insensitive to his brother's feelings by revealing to them how awesome he was going to be one day and how all of them would bow to him. A little insensitivity among brothers. Praise the Lord. Hey guys, you're all going to bow to me. I had a dream. Let's practice. Bow now. And of course, he's a little punk. They're his older brothers and they smash him. Praise the Lord. That happens today. The only difference is they took it a lot farther. They went ahead and put him in a hole, in a pit. They sold him as a slave. He was then a slave of Egyptians who hated Israelites. And then he was then sold to Potiphar in Potiphar's house. He becomes the servant of Potiphar, makes all the money for him. He becomes the head of the house, runs everything because he's a perfect man with perfect, excellent spirit, righteous, integrous, trustworthy, reliable, consistent, obedient, and just pure. Praise God. So he's doing everything right. And in the midst of doing everything right, he has one setback after another setback. Praise the Lord. Now, if that's you, if you're out there right now and say, look, I've done nothing wrong. I haven't done a single thing wrong, and I'm going through all this stuff. I've got good news for you. A comeback is on the way if you can just stretch your faith out a little bit. Because I know there's some of you out there that haven't done anything wrong. I know you exist. I know you're out there. And you've crossed every T and dotted every I. I know that you've done everything you can. You've prayed, you've fasted, you sought God, you've obeyed God, you've tithed. You've done everything that you know to do. And things may still be going wrong, and they're not in your power. And they're not because of your choices or your decisions. They're because of the surrounding circumstances of planet Earth that you live in. But the good news is that just like Joseph, he got thrown into a prison, he got lied about, he got framed, he got accused as a rapist, and now he's a felon, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph, the most righteous man on planet Earth at the time, is now a felon accused of a sexual crime against a woman. How many of you think that you would really be upset with God if you'd done everything and now you're in jail? I'm asking questions. And now you're in jail and they're accusing you of a horrible crime that probably the rest of the inmates are going to kill you for. There's a few crimes you can commit that when you get in jail, that's your death sentence because they're going to kill you. You molest children, you get to prison, you're dead. You rape women, you get to prison, you're dead. Some people in there will just kill you. That's why they have to protect all the perverts. Anybody alive in the sanctuary at 3 till 12? Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you till 12:30 or 12:10 or 12 anything. I'm just trying to get you prepared for tonight and tomorrow night and get your spirit for a comeback. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to know, does anybody need a comeback in any area of your life? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Does anybody need a comeback? Are you serious about it? Do you want it to really happen? Or am I wasting my time? Are you wasting your time? Are we going through a religious exercise by showing up to church? Or have you come to church because you know God needs to tell you something and speak to you and touch you and rearrange rearrange something. I've been coming to the church for over 25 years, ladies and gentlemen. Every year, twice a year, I believe in you. I believe you've got a future. I believe God's going to blow this church up and that wall is going to come down. I believe that wall is coming down. I believe an extension is coming. I believe your business is going to come back. I believe your marriage is going to come back. I believe your walk with God is coming back. I believe your purity is coming back. Your children are coming back to God. I believe you're going to have a comeback because we serve a good God that loves us and has no defeat in His plan for our life. Praise the Lord. Can anybody say anything? Tell me I'm preaching good. Say, we love you, brother. We love that kind of preaching. Tell us about it. Sing it to me. Tell us about it. I know you're white, but I know you can sound black. Tell me, I know that. Too many white folks. We need some black folks in here. We need about 200 black folks in the church. We need about 400 Hispanics. We need about 1,000 Japanese. We need about 10,000 rainbows. We need everything in the church. That's the way it is in heaven. There's no white sections up there. Well, because of time, I just want to tell you, Joseph did not make those fatal mistakes that some people make when they have done all the right things, but negative things happen. The fatal mistake of blaming God. If you're mad at God, understand it is one of the most foolish things you can do, since the Bible says that God is good, God is love, He's a God of righteousness and without iniquity, and God would never harm you, hurt you, plague you, punish you, judge you, or destroy you. He would never rob from you, steal from you, or make things bad for you. He already punished Jesus so that you could be blessed. He judged Jesus so you could have mercy. He made Jesus sick so He could make you heal, praise the Lord. He took everything from Jesus so He could give everything to you. Comeback is the only thing that you ought to be looking for in your future. Praise the Lord. Because a comeback is happening this week for anybody that wants it and anybody that needs it and anybody that has any hunger for it. A comeback is on the way. Can anybody help me preach a little bit in the Holy Ghost? I'm talking from the Spirit of the Lord. So what does Joseph do? Because righteous people need to hear this. Joseph continued to do the right things in the wrong place. He gets in the hole, he cleans it up. He becomes a slave, he becomes the best slave. He's bought by a landowner and master. He rises to the highest position by his loyalty, faithfulness, excellent spirit. God never left him. God never left him. Don't you leave God, because He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And when you think God has left you, that is the devil lying to you, asking you to do something wrong so you will be away from where God can reach you. You cannot do the wrong thing. You need to do the right thing even in the wrong place. Praise the Lord. And this is the most important point of all, ladies and gentlemen, is that some of us get bitter and mad at God because we don't see our prayers answered or things happen when we want them to and at the time we want them to. And then we start acting bad. And now for sure they won't happen. You see, Joseph didn't make that mistake. He went in prison. And what does the Bible says? It says that his feet hurt from the chains they put on his feet. If you research that, it says they cut through the skin right to the bone. The chains were actually touching his bones. And in that situation, he still acted right, did right, and never blamed God. He never was bitter at God. He never got mad at God. He never asked why. He said, God, you are good. I don't understand things, but you are good. You are loving. You are faithful. And I will follow you all the way. No turning back, no matter what. Because who else has the words of everlasting life? There's no one else I can turn to. You're the only one. I'm going to do the right thing in the wrong place. You know what has happened now to a lot of Americans and a lot of churches? They've quit doing the right thing in the wrong place. They've quit tithing. They've quit giving. They quit doing the simple little things that God has told them to do in order to get out of situations that are negative. When this recession and all these things came around, when they first started, I told my entire staff, all the people, I said, we're doubling all our giving. Double everything. Because I knew what the devil was going to do was start scaring people, and they were going to start holding back from their churches, from their orphans and widows and children and ministry. They were going to start holding back instead of letting go. And as soon as they start hearing that negative report every day, over and over and over, by every news machine and every news station and every newscaster, over and over and over, over and over and over, over and over and over, they start believing what they submit to. Because that's why the Bible says, beware of what you hear, because it can affect what you do, ladies and gentlemen. And you got to protect your hearing, because faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes from the word of God. Because you listen to the wrong thing, you are now going to do the wrong thing and end up in the wrong place. And you will now lack instead of have, like Moses did. Because eventually he just said, I don't care what happens, I'm going to do the right thing. And he just stubbornly just did it. And what happens? He goes from the pit to the throne. And in one 24-hour period, God gives him the wealth of the entire world, and he is able to pay off everybody's needs and take care of his entire family and tribe. Amen. I think that's pretty powerful, ladies and gentlemen. I think that's pretty powerful. You got to do the right thing, even in the wrong place and even in the wrong time. Because a comeback is on the way. Whatever it is you need, God wants to give it to you. Praise the Lord. Could you close your eyes for a moment as I'm done with the preaching? And I want to just have you put on my music, and I want you to just close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about where you are in your life, the situation that you're facing, whatever is going on in your life. And I want you to ask, have you by any chance started doing the wrong thing because of the place that you're in or the circumstances you're facing? Is it possible that you've quit loving your wife because you're under a lot of stress at work? Is it possible that you've quit ministering to your little children because you're distracted by the stress and pressure of your finances? Is it possible that you've quit reading the Bible and seeking answers from God about how you should live and how you should act and what kind of person you should be? Is it possible that you've quit thanking God and praising God that you are alive and you live in America? And you live in the greatest nation in the world, and you have a family, and you have a job, and you have food, and your heart has filled itself with complaints instead of thanksgiving. Because God wants to give you this comeback I'm talking about. We want to have it by Monday night. We want to have an explosion of comebacks for people. It's very, very important. Everybody's eyes are closed for this reason, so that you can set aside all distractions from your mind. And I'm going to ask you a very simple question that I ask all over the world. It's the most important yes you can ever give. Are you 100% sure that if you died right now, you would go to heaven. Can you say that you have absolutely no doubts that if you died right now, you would go to heaven? This is the greatest question any man can ever be asked. Any woman can ever be asked. You alone know the answer. If you're here and you say, I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to be. I want to have that assurance and peace in my heart. If that's you, and you're not 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die, but you want to, all I'm going to ask you to do right where you're sitting is to simply raise your hand high enough for me to see so that I can pray for you. And then we're going to take care of that issue. Would you lift your hands now if that's you? I see your hand there. See your hand there. See your hand there. See your hand there. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. See your hand there. I 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 see your hand there. Now, those of you that did lift your hand, I want to pray with you. I would like you to simply stand to your feet so I can see you with my eyes and pray for you right now. If you lifted your hand, would you kindly stand up quickly without hesitation so that I can pray for you and we can settle this issue in your life for the rest of your life. Praise the Lord. Now, those of you that are standing, whether you're standing for the first time or whether you already are a Christian but you have doubts, whichever the case may be, we're going to settle this in your heart. Because one thing God wants all Christians to have is peace in their heart that they're going to go to heaven. Now, that peace, you can lose it by turning your back on God. But you're not supposed to lose it if you repent and let Jesus cleanse you of whatever sins may be in your life, and then that peace comes back. So you don't have to keep answering an altar call every time one is given. You just have to get your heart right with God, and then you have peace again. But for this morning, I would like you to get out of your seats as fast as you can and simply walk right here to the front so I can look at your eyes, lead you into prayer. I will not make you say anything to anybody, and then you will be seated again. And give them a hand as they're coming this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. Why did we come to church? To get in and out? Or did we come to church to get something from God that is going to change our life and change our world? Just go ahead and spread yourself out right here in the front. Would you all extend your hands this way? I would like all of you that are here to simply be my partners today and tomorrow with the people we need to minister to in the different areas that we need to minister to them about. So here's what I'm going to say. If you guys can understand this, whatever you have done that makes you feel guilty and makes you feel this doubt is about to be erased by the forgiveness of God. When God forgives you, He does not forgive you the way that people on earth forgive. People on earth, when they forgive you, they don't forget. But God, when He forgives, erases from His mind everything we have ever done that makes us feel guilty or ashamed. It is gone, just as if it never happened. He then writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you are to walk every day and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You walk every day with the Lord. If you fail or make a mistake, you don't have to get resaved. You just have to get reinstituted back into a relationship with God, which happens by the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. So you never have to come back up to the altar again for this kind of altar call. I want you all to close your eyes and let me lead you into prayer. And I want all of you to extend your hands and let's pray for them right now and take the doubt out of their hearts. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, would you erase out of my heart every doubt and fear of not going to heaven? Would you come into my heart and live there for the rest of my life, so that when I die, I will go to heaven? I forgive all the people that have ever hurt me in my life and damaged me in any way. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on the devil. I believe that I am forgiven, that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that I will go to heaven when I die. I trust you for this, God, and I believe in you for this, God, for the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to heaven when I die, and I will never doubt it again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, would you extend your hands right here? Let me pronounce this blessing on you. Extend your hands towards me as a sign of contact. I just bless you in the name of Jesus that whatever has been in your life that is negative, undermining, hurting you in any way, that it will be broken by the name of Jesus and by the power of Almighty God. I declare that all the things the devil has ever done in your life that he may still have a hold on you about is now shattered and broken off of your life, out of your life, for the rest of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, everybody listen. They're going to give you something here. And I just want to, can you pass that out to them? Just give them whatever it is you're going to give them. Okay. Okay, great. If you guys can just walk right to the back. They can keep you for a couple of seconds. Just go right over there. They're going to give you something and then you can sit down in just a second. Go right over. Give them a hand as they're going. How many of you are ready for a comeback? How many of you are ready for a comeback this week? Can you tell three or four people around you this is your comeback week? Say that to somebody. Say, this is your comeback week. Financial comeback. We're going to show you how to get comebacks in every area tonight and tomorrow. We're going to just show you how to do that, and it's going to be very powerful. Before I hand it over to Pastor, let me mention to you a couple of things. We've got our trip in February, which I'll tell you more about tonight, for our missions trip to Guatemala. Then on March the 18th through the 28th, we're going to Africa to begin building our feeding center. We have 300 children we are taking care of right now in Africa, and we're trying to get it up to 1,000 children. We're looking at building a feeding center that will be able to feed many, many thousands of people. These children are starving to death. They come and they actually faint when they're in school from hunger. 300 of them that we found in one school, orphans, fainting, no food, no way of eating. They allowed them in school, let them borrow the uniforms. Then when they're done with school, they walk off into the streets. And then we said, no, we'll take care of them. We'll provide for whatever they need. And so we took on those 300 kids. And now we want to take on more and more and more and more, because there's over 100,000 orphans in the city that we're building that orphanage in and that feeding center. And we really want to make a difference in the lives of these kids. Guatemala, we got 4 new children this last week, so we're real excited about that. Little ones, real tiny ones, you know, a year old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 6-year-old. And then we're getting 2 more in the next several days that are still in the hospital from malnutrition. They've been abandoned. One is a brand new newborn, and another one is 4 years old, and their brother and sister, and we're gonna be getting those as well. We'll keep these until they're all the way through graduate school, praise the Lord. So they're not just going to high school, they're going to college and graduate school, and we're raising them to become lawyers and doctors and presidents, and we're paying everything, but we are raising them to be life changers, world changers. This is the kind of a child that we're supposed to raise. We built the best orphanage we can build, because God told me when I started building things, he said, build it as if you're your own children had to live in them. Educate them the way you educate your own children, and love them the way you love your own children. And that's the way that we're doing it, ladies and gentlemen. And all of you that are involved, that's how you do it. They know it. They understand it. They know you love them. They see your faces. You're there all the time. And it means everything in the world to them. And because of that, we don't have a bunch of messed up children that are tortured and tormented. Even though they came in molested, they came in raped, now they're whole and sound and full of the love and joy and power of the Holy Ghost. And anybody that meets those children, that's what they say. They don't even look like anything's wrong with them, because that is the love that is poured out on them day after day after day after day. Praise God. So we're building 24 new houses. But here's the big news. Here's the big news. I made the decision to start our school in January. So this coming January, all of our kids are now going to school at the orphanage. This is going to limit the abuse they get from even the school we send them to, because a lot of the teachers are very prejudiced against orphans, and certainly the kids are, and they mock them and everything else. But it's the best education we could provide. And now we're going to educate the kids at the orphanage. So we are just going crazy to try to open that new orphanage. I mean, that new school. So we're building it. We're doing everything we can. We got people working on it around the clock. All the stuff we need around $7,500 of things, blackboards, desks, whatever it might be, all put together just in that aspect. There are many aspects, but for us to be able to start, that's what we're looking at. If you could find it in your heart to even give $100 this week, if we can have 75 of you that did that, we could get all the stuff that we need to get. There's other things, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just focusing on one thing at a time, and so this is where we're at on that. So if God moves you to give any amount of money towards us or towards our ministry, please consider that in your giving. Praise the Lord. This is to give your giving a little bit of purpose, and so that you understand there's many other things we're going to need, but I'm just going to focus on one thing every week until we get everything taken care of by January. Praise the Lord. They tried to break into the orphanage here last month. They stole all our pumps. They stole everything from the orphanage water-wise. They connected everything. The good news is I had all the money by the next day to replace everything. And I put up an electric fence around the entire property. And somebody tried to break in 2 days ago, and it shocked the devil out of them. And let me just tell you, that's 15,000 volts that went through them, and they'll never forget it as long as they live. And this electric fence, when you touch it, it tells you exactly where the person is at when they touch them. They cut a wire, and then boom, the guards were right there in a second. Praise the Lord. Because I decided, I said, I'm never having anybody break into this orphanage ever again. If they do, they need to pay a price for breaking in. I mean, I need their hair falling out, their eyes falling out, their teeth chattering. I mean, just like an inch before dying. Praise the Lord. So if you guys could consider giving this week, be generous. Give a big gift, but remember, no matter what, don't stop tithing to your church. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give it over to my good friend, praise the Lord, Pastor Steve, and then we'll be here tonight flowing in the gifts. Come to church tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Let God give you a breakthrough, and also on Monday night. Praise the Lord. Here you go, Pastor Steve. God bless.